last night of thinking maybe you took your foot off the gas a little too early, but obviously, unless I'm wrong, you don't want to play hurry up with a 33-7 lead. How do you keep momentum if you slow down the offense?
It's a great question. You know, I think part of what we do in our successes is that we get into a rhythm, you know, when it's almost like trying to get that first down. So it's not as much taking your foot off the gas from the standpoint of the tempo that you play up, but it's just getting clock a little bit, you know, because it starts to get into a possession game, you know, so when it's 33-7, how many scores? It's four scores. How many possessions are left in the second half? And do they have enough time left on the clock? And, you know, are you just putting them out there? You know, obviously you don't think you're going to turn the ball over, but you also don't want to go three and out and just waste 20 seconds off the clock. So it's a fine line, but it's something as I get a better feel for our guys and they get a better feel for us. You know, it's something that you're always going to continually to work on because 4-minute offense, so to speak, is just as important as a 2-minute offense. So
you mentioned the turnover that you guys had, Avanti. Yeah. But when you look back at that last 10 minutes, what did you see from your defense as far as why the Redskins were able to put three?
Yeah, I think we put them on the field a little bit. You know, and I think it's the same thing is that you have to be able to make some plays defensively too, and you also give them credit. You know, obviously, we got out to a great start defensively to start the game, but you knew when with someone of RG3's talent and the guys they got there that, you know, that wasn't going to be a game where they just kept serving up plays to us. So, you know, you always wondered when you're going to take a shot. You know, are they going to make a counterpunch to what you're doing to them? So, you know, it's a game that's always going to be. Most games in this league are always contested, so it's always going to be close. So,
taking your foot off the pedal also, you talked about knowing your players, but also knowing a little more about the NFL and how teams are capable of coming back, perhaps.
No, they're capable of coming back everywhere. So, I mean, it's got nothing to do with the league that you're playing in. It's just how do you work the clock and how do your players understand, you know, and we got to practice it a little bit more. You know, we do a lot of things at such a rapid tempo. I think our guys understand tempo and do that pretty good, but we also have to learn how to practice, you know, playing it the other way, really from a mindset standpoint. Then, you know, we do everything 90 miles an hour, and then now you got to go back to driving through the city streets. You can't drive 90 miles an hour anymore. You need to kind of slow it down and make sure you can still negotiate the turn. So, you know, that's just a work in progress. We haven't been together for a ton of time, so it's a matter of just getting a feel as we go through it. So it's got nothing to do with leagues or anything like that.
Mike was a little hot. Like a lot of guys that were watching the game felt like it was moving really fast. Your head's almost spinning, seeing how fast the offense moved. In your first game for you, did it feel like the game and the tempo was moving really fast, or did it kind of feel like this is what I'm used to?
No, I felt like it was slow, to be honest with you. And we had to do. I'm not being joking. We had to do a better job. We left the ball on the ground too much. We didn't get the ball to the officials. We could have sped things up from a process in between plays, and that's something we need to continue to work on.
You talked about tempo being not as important as play selection in terms of managing a lead. Traditionally, that means more runs than passes. Is that going to be also a fine line because it looks like LeSean is so much of a big part of getting you going and getting you those leads?
I didn't understand that question at all.
If when you're trying to sit on a lead, if you're trying to shorten the game in the second half when you have a lead, traditionally in the NFL, that means more runs and passes.
Yeah.
The clock doesn't stop as much. Because LeSean is such a big part, apparently, of what it's going to take you to get those leads, is that also going to be a fine line in the second half and later in games in terms of how much work that he's going to be able to get?
No, I mean, we've got to do a better job of rotating some of those guys. You know, and I think we've talked about it as a staff, you know, we need to see Bryce a little bit more. We need to get Chris in the game. You know, we need to rotate our receivers a little bit more. When you're going to play that many snaps, you got to make sure that you don't run your own team into the ground. So that's you know, kind of getting those guys subbed in and out. And there was a few times the first half they didn't want to come out, but they've got to understand, you know, if we're going to get that many snaps, then we need to make sure we manage it so that when we're in the fourth quarter, we're fresher. So, you know, that's just a coaching deal with all of us and making sure that we distribute those reps.
Did you sense fatigue at all in the fourth quarter?
From our players?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think you always sense fatigue in the fourth quarter, no matter what team you're on or what you did. You know, you've played a game, so in the fourth quarter you're not going to be as fresh as you were in the first quarter. So the biggest thing is just to be not as fatigued as the team you're playing against. So,
Chip, there are a few instances where Vic ended up being a blocker on some of the running plays.
Yeah, that was not by design.
Not by design.
No, not at all.
So what do you do?
Tell Mike not to do it. Simply.
How do you stop him, though, from being like, there was another time where he ran down the sideline, he had the first down. You know, we've seen NFL quarterbacks just take that left, and he's out of danger. He runs almost to contact, and that's, I think that's when he seemed to have a groin issue.
No, I think he was trying to get out on that play. I think the one you're talking about, but I think it may have occurred on him trying to get out. So, but we're going to constantly coach it and emphasize it with him. And there's a lot of things that, you know, I saw out of Mike that we've emphasized since we got here that I was happy with. And there are some other things that's still working on, and he knows he's still going to work on it. So
sliding, is that one? I mean, it seems to head first slide more than leg
first.
Yeah,
I think that's the way Mike likes to do it. You know, I think that's the way he's going to do it. So we just got to make sure that we can put him in a little bit better situation than that. But I don't think we're going to get him hook sliding, I can tell you that.
Have you felt compelled to call the league about some of these injuries that the Redskins were having with leg cramps, yeah, having at certain times?
I have no issues with any of that stuff. So
that's on tough. On those head first slides, though, it seems like every time he takes a kidney or rib shot hard from the defender, I mean, that's not going to pile up as games go by.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't, but I'm also realistic in terms of I don't think at 33 we're going to get him to hook slide. So, you know, that's just, you know, we can talk about it and wish for it, and I don't see that happening.
What did you see from the offensive line last night? It seems like they gave Mike a good amount of time to throw the ball.
I saw a team play their first game, you know, and I thought at times we, you know, the first touchdown pass, he looked at Deshaun and outstanding protection and did a really good job. And then some other times we had, you know, it's a loud stadium, some communication issues where not everybody, all five of them, were on the same page. So we got some leakage inside. But, you know, I think that's to be expected in the first game. You know, you don't want it to happen, but I think you understand where we are. It's still a relatively new group together. Jason missed some time during camp. Lane's a rookie. You know, everybody getting together, learning a whole new system. So, you know, I was pleased, but we still got a lot of work to do and a long way to go with that group. But I like everybody in our entire group, I like their effort, but there's so many things we can continue to work on. So
is anyone who played last night in jeopardy of not being able to practice?
Yeah, Bradley Fletcher is out right now with a concussion, and we don't know. I mean, there's a protocol to go through for the whole thing, but he's the only guy that that's a concern for us right now.
When did that happen?
In the game. I don't know the specific play.
When
you run so many plays like you guys did, and McCoy had so many carries, and the way you want to run this offense, how much do you have to worry about injuries to your star players and any players that you have?
I think you're concerned with injuries no matter how you are, but, you know, we were in the 70s. There was a lot more teams that ran more plays than we did. So, again, we talked about we need to rotate, especially at the skill positions with the way we run, we need to rotate guys, you know, at the receiver spot and at the running back spot. And we'll continue to do that as our packages, you know, get a little bit different depending on who we're going to play. You know, we wanted to feature certain things against the Redskins, but the Chargers are a different opponent, so that'll change. But, you know, we need to make sure that we're cognizant of how many snaps guys are getting. So,
is that the reason you brought Hughes back, was to...
No, we don't. I think Brandon being back is a huge help for us, but I know we had talked about bringing Brandon back all along. So,
how close is he with the hand?
He should be able to practice tomorrow. So,
when you guys had the tape, how surprised you think they were?
Do you guys get aggravated when someone talks over you?
We fight afterwards.
Kind of used to it.
You do fight afterwards?
Yeah, definitely.
Every day.
When you were able to look at the game, how surprised you think they were with some of the things you were doing, and how much did you think was you guys out executing them?
I don't know about the surprise factor. A lot of things that we ran, they've seen on tape. So, you know, we did it when we were at Oregon, and I don't think they were ill prepared. So I don't think there was a surprise factor, to be honest with you.
On the one formation, on the The one formation, you had two tackles lined up wide and everything. What were you kind of looking for in that?
They were just tired, and we didn't want them to run back to the ball, so we told them to hang out there.
Did anybody stand out on tape maybe more than you saw it live?
Stand out? No. You know, I think overall as a group, though, and I said it last night, is I think their efforts were outstanding, but there's a whole ton of work for us to continue to do in every facet, you know. But I think the one thing that we'll harp upon and we'll always continue to do is if you play hard, you got a shot at winning each week, and that's what I thought they did. But there wasn't, you know, there wasn't like, oh, my God, I didn't really realize that. But there were a lot of guys that I felt played really well last night. When you see the tape again, you know, I thought they did. So.
In the OTAs, we asked you a lot about the players, in the veterans buying in. Last night, from their words, it sounded like not only was buy in, but they were salesmen for it. Did you think it was going to happen this fast? And do you think that has any quickening effect in terms of the team's effectiveness as you go forward, if they have some ownership this early into the process?
Yeah, I didn't have any preconceived notions on how long it would take or where it would go from that standpoint. But I think in any organization, any business, any group, I think when you have total buy-in and everybody's committed to the same vision and the same goals, you're going to ultimately be successful. And I think, you know, that's what we constantly preach here, is that, you know, we have a vision, we have a mission that we're on, and that our daily habits have to reflect the mission. And we got a bunch of guys that understand that, and they understand that if they're investing in themselves, they're investing in the team, and ultimately, you know, we all have the same common goal. You know, I think our job as a coaching staff is just to make sure that they understand what that vision is and show them how to get there, and then honestly just get out of their way and let them go do it. So
very active and why did James Kasem only take two snaps on offense?
You don't get two questions, you get one question.
I'm being efficient here. I'm trying to learn from you.
I was going to ask one of those. So
why was Vinny Curry inactive? Just because we were only going to have 60 linemen active for the game. So
was that a defensive decision or a special teams decision?
Combination of the two.
Was it also because the Redskins run a lot? Do you guys consider him a pass rusher? Was that a situational decision?
It was just a combination of what our depth is, and we're going to have 60 linemen active. We weren't going to have seven. And then we always factor in when it comes in the backup guys, special teams.
In the zone read, does Michael always have multiple options?
Always? No.
Most of the time, does he?
No. It just depends on what we call. So, I guess the answer is not always. I mean, it just depends on how I play call it. There could be times where there's never an option. You know, that's just depending on how we call the play and we formation the play and we block the play. So,
because it always seems like there's a safety valve. You know, if he's not going to hand off, there's a bubble screen always. You know, or if there's not handing off, there's maybe a quick hit.
Yeah, there are. I'm not arguing the fact that there are, but yeah. The question was, are there always options? No, there's times when we call a play and the play says hand the ball off no matter what, because that's how it's blocked up. So it's not an always. I think that's the one thing, is we don't always run the same play. We don't always have the same options. And I think that's what, you know, makes the defense have to be very honest in terms of how they play you, because if there's always one way to do it, then there's always going to be one way to defend it. So we have a wide variety in terms of how we can do it, who we're going to read, and what we're going to be able to give him. But the play call is real specific in terms of what he has on that particular play. And there are some times when he has one read, sometimes he has two reads. There are other times when he has absolutely no reads. It's catch a snap and hand the ball off, no matter what the look is. And we as play callers kind of change that for him so that the defense is included on that. So,
what made this touchdown run work so well? What made that play? I mean, there was one guy on that side of the field, one Redskin,
yeah,
and he took off.
You know, I just think we were taking advantage of their pursuit, you know, and at that point, the way our running backs were running the ball, I would be pursuing too. So, you know, it's just when you do get into, and you go to Jeff's question, that there are times when you can have them read a different person, and that's all we did on that play. But it was, you know, I think very well executed up front, blocked very well, you know, and gave him an opportunity to take advantage of. If a defense is going to be over aggressive towards one aspect of the game, you got to hopefully have an answer for it, and that's what we had. So,
4 days after the Chargers, is there a concern with this group that, you know, they might have a hard time focusing on the Chargers with, you know, the Chiefs 4 days later?
You lost me on that one. We got one game.
I mean, we haven't followed an NFL season. You play the Chargers Sunday, but 4 days later you play the Chiefs, and the former head coach of a lot of these guys, is there any concern?
No, I mean, I didn't even think of it until you asked me the question. I didn't know where you were going with it, but I think we've known this schedule since we got here. So when we know that every game's the ultimate and the ultimate importance for us, so there's no way you can say, hey, we got another game next Thursday, and let's focus and concentrate on that. I think everybody's attention is on getting ready to play San Diego, and that's what this thing's all about. Is every week is a season. You know, and we got a little rhythm that we got to get into. Our rhythm's thrown off a little bit because of the schedule, but our guys know it was done with the Redskins last night, and we're on to the Chargers today. And then when the Chargers game is over on Sunday, then we go on to the next opponent, and that's how it has to work in this league for you to be successful. So,
more questions, guys.
With James Casey, is there more value with him right now on special teams than on the offense?
No, what formations are we running? We were in a ton of 11 personnel last night. So in 11 personnel, he's not in the game. But a lot of times that dictates what they do, because if we're in 11, they get more DBs in the game, you know. And so that was kind of some of our thought process going into that game. That was it. So it has nothing to do with James's ability or what we're happy with him, not happy with him. It's that, you know, sometimes we're going to feature three tight ends prominently in a weekly game plan. Other times we're gonna be a little bit more spread. And last night we were just a little bit more spread. So.
A lot of talk is about how dynamic your offense is. But some of the Redskins players were talking after the game about they didn't expect in practice for so much of the defensive things that you threw at them. I mean, how much more dynamic can this defense be, especially starting over and learning the system?
I think our defense is still growing, and we've said that since day one we got here. You know, we were going from a wide nine to a 3-4, and, you know, where that eventually stops. It depends on our coaches doing a really good job, which I think they are doing, of assessing our players and trying to put them in situations where they can make plays. We've played one full game, you know, and I was pleased again with our effort. We still made some mistakes, but, you know, I think each day you see our defense getting better and better and better. But, you know, I don't think we're scheme coaches. I think we're practice coaches, and as we continue to emphasize fundamentals and emphasize their understanding, the better off we'll get at this thing. So, you know, I think for what we did in the first game, you know, I was happy with how we played defensively, but we still got a long way to go there, just like we do in special teams, just like we do on offense. So,
one game made a huge splash. Did you get a lot of texts, a lot of calls from people that you know or in coaching around the country?
Yeah, I mean, I have friends that were happy about the game. But
more than you would have thought. What was it like?
Do you want to know how many friends I have? Is that the question?
Yeah, how many exactly? Give me
number. It was. I don't have a specific number for you. It was a good feeling. You know, I think anytime you can start off like we did and be successful in the first game. You know, I think people were genuinely excited about that. So, you know, but. It's a what have you done for me lately league, and by the time we get back on the field tomorrow, no one's talking about what went on last Monday. So,
taking into account the rotating of skill players, how can you ultimately keep up this same pace through the course of 16 games? Are you guys just in better shape than everybody else?
I don't know, and I can't, you know, it would be very presumptuous of me to talk about the shape of other teams because I've never watched them train. So, but I know our team's in shape, and I know how we train, and we're pretty specific in how we do that. So I believe we can keep up what we're doing right now just because we've been doing this since April, you know. And I think if you're going to wait till the week before you play us to say, hey, we got to get some extra sprinting in, then I think it's too late. You know, it's been an ongoing process for us, and we've always built it that way. You know, it's not just this is what we do on game day. This is what we've done since our guys have been with us on April 1st. So.
Okay. Thanks, guys.